At all the places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another dangerous assignment. Dangerous Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though. Trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize this assignment's going to teach me that you can sometimes rub out a spy ring with just a common, ordinary eraser. Good morning, Commissioner. You sent for me?
Steve, you're familiar, of course, with the story of the little Dutch boy, the hole in the dike.
Sure, stout lad. Came out of it a hero. A hero with a pretty soggy cuticle, too, I'd imagine. So?
So I'm sending you to Holland to plug up another leak.
Look, wouldn't a little fresh cement do as well, Commissioner?
This happens to be a leak of information. Concerns Operation Arrow.
What's Operation Arrow?
A project supported with funds supplied by our government and others, Steve. Experimental work on a new type of guided missile. Data on the test are being compiled in a villa near a small town called Zandvoort on the Netherlands coast.
All supposed to be very hush-hush, huh?
It's supposed to be, yes. Last night, Netherlands police arrested a man they'd been watching for some time, a man they suspected of being a foreign agent. They found a copy of some notes in his possession, detailed information regarding the progress of Operation Arrow.
You tell them how he got the notes?
He can't. He tried to get away from the police, and in the chase, he was killed.
He must have established contact with someone inside the villa.
And we want to find out who that someone is. We don't know how long this sort of thing's been going on, but it's got to stop as of right now. It's up to you to see that it does stop. Well, that's it, Steve. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
Get over to Holland and try to plug up a leak of information regarding a top-secret project of ours called Operation Arrow. Nail someone who may be working within the operation and who is furnishing foreign agents with detailed reports on the work being done there. It's Friday afternoon when my plane lands. I'm met by Hank Ferguson, Chief of Security Police, and we drive out to the villa.
Frankly, this thing's got me whipped, Steve. I can't work it out.
Well, let's start with the notes. Where are they kept?
As soon as it's typed, they're slapping a safe. It's in my office.
How good a safe is it?
Blockbuster couldn't dent it. I'm the only one around there who knows the combination.
You say the notes are typed.
Yeah.
What happens to the original copy?
Destroyed. I see to it personally. Look, I'll explain the routine to you, Steve. As the work of the lab progresses, the men in charge of the project make the notes. In longhand, of course. Every afternoon, I go down to the lab, pick up the notes, take them upstairs to Hager's office.
Who's Hager?
He's the office manager, in charge of the personnel.
Go on, Ferguson.
I turn the notes over to Hager, and he in turn gives them to his secretary, Rona Kerndahl. Stay in that office, chat with Hager until the girl has finished typing the notes.
She in the same room?
Not more than 10 feet away. And she doesn't use carbon paper if you're about to ask.
Then what?
I pick up both the original notes and the typewritten copy, go back to my office, burn the original, put the typewritten notes in the safe, and that's it.
How long does it take Hager's secretary to copy the notes?
Oh, a few minutes. No, Steve, she couldn't possibly memorize that stuff. 3 typewritten pages, usually, and pretty involved stuff, too. It'd take a genius.
I guess you're right.
Besides, the notes found on the agent the police picked up were word for word, Steve. Now, I ask you.
Do you ever turn your back on her while she's typing them?
No.
Does she ever turn her back on you?
Only when she goes to the file cabinet.
File cabinet?
Yeah, it's over against the wall. You see, references are made in the notes to certain data in the files. Miss Kerndahl is to look up the references and list them in the notes.
Now, wait a minute, Hank.
Hmm?
While she's at the files, maybe somebody else can get close enough to a typewriter to read
it. Look, sorry, Steve. There's not a chance. You see, whenever she leaves her desk, she locks the notes in the bottom drawer, on which I've installed a special lock. Guess who she gives the key to?
You.
Me. Steve, I can't see where we've overlooked a single possibility as far as security precautions are concerned.
This copy of the notes the police found on the agent was a typewritten?
No, it was in longhand, his own handwriting.
Look, Ferguson, do you think this leak occurs between the time you pick up the notes at the lab and the time you place them in the safe?
I don't see how that's possible, Steve. The notes are never out of my sight.
All right. And it has to happen either before or after.
Before I pick them up? You mean someone in the lab?
Who works there besides the men who head this project?
Well, no one. Just the three of them. Professor Stryker. He's the British physicist who coordinates the project. Dr. Bernier of France. Heinrich Kollner of Switzerland. Look, you might as well suspect Winston Churchill as those three.
Yeah, I agree. So that takes care of before. Now what about after?
Look, Steve, I'll stake my life on it. No one can get into that safe. Our agent friend couldn't even have gotten into the villa.
Okay, Ferguson, okay. However, if you don't mind, I'd like to look over your outside fortifications, if you don't mind.
You'll get your chance in a few minutes, Steve. There's the villa up ahead.
The villa is a low rambling structure, partially hidden by a brick wall and tall poplar trees. It sits at the edge of the cliff overlooking the North Sea. Ferguson takes me on a tour of the grounds, and it doesn't take me long to realize he's done a good job of sealing in the villa. Inside the building, we wander from room to room, the study, living room, dining hall, all converted into offices. This is the business end of Operation Arrow. The west wing of the villa has been turned into a dormitory to accommodate the office staff. We finally end up in the basement just outside the lab. I look in through a large plate glass window.
There they are, Steve, the brains. The one with the muffler around his neck, that's Stryker. Next to him is Golner. That's Bernier over there at the table.
Hey, is that a chessboard in front of him?
Yeah, he and Stryker fiends about chess. Looks like Stryker's got him in a corner.
Playing chess yet?
Need I mention that Operation Arrow is 2 weeks ahead of schedule? You like to go in and meet him, Steve?
I wouldn't want to disturb them now, Ferguson. About that agent the police grabbed night before last.
Riga.
Is that his name?
Joseph Riga. No one important, apparently.
Korea, huh?
Yeah.
How'd the police get a line on him?
Well, it was a sort of fluke, really. One of my boys, Morton, has done a lot of underground work, happened to go into the village several nights ago, and he spotted him there in a grog shop.
So you took off the law?
Yeah, they put a couple of men on him, watched his every move.
What made them go for him?
Well, I'll tell you. Bought a railway ticket. The reason they should retain him for questioning, and... Well, you know what happened. He made a run for it and got shot.
What did he do while he was in the village?
Well, he acted like a typical tourist. Visited the shops, cafes, took walks along the beach, you know, so on.
He go to any one shop or cafe more than others?
The bakery. Seems he was very fond of pastry. I wondered a bit about that. The owner of the bakery is a newcomer to the region. Bought the shop about 2 months ago.
Hollander?
A Danish.
Any of the staff here also fond of pastry?
No one left the villa in a week, Steve. Does that answer your question?
You say the notes found on Riga were in his handwriting. When was the original typed?
About 5 hours before Riga was picked up.
You sure no one left the villa that day?
I have the pass list, and you saw the fortifications.
Yeah. How big a staff have you here, Ferguson?
Well, as you know, the top is Professor Stryker, Dr. Bernier and Gulner, and there's Hager and the office help. That's 6 in all. Got a cook named Carl, a cook's helper, and a housekeeper. I've got 10 guards, and that's it.
Do me a favor. Give me a list of their names.
Sure.
Then let me borrow your car.
Okay.
I'd like to take a look around that village.
Hi, Steve. Back so soon?
It's a small village.
Find the tour interesting?
Yeah. I spotted a pigeon loft.
A pigeon loft?
Behind the bakery. Know about that?
No.
Look, I'd like to try something.
Well, whatever you say.
You pick up the latest batch of notes at the lab yet?
No, I will in a few minutes. Why?
Let's pull a switch.
Huh.
We slip in a set of phony notes, shove them through regular channels, then see what happens. Can do?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, let's go downstairs and meet the brain. A half hour later, Ferguson and I walk into Hager's office. Ferguson is carrying some notes in his hand in Professor Stryker's handwriting. The notes have nothing to do with Operation Arrow, but we're the only ones who know that.
Good afternoon, Colonel Ferguson.
Hello, Mr. Hager. I'd like to meet an old friend of mine, Steve Mitchell.
Pleasure, Mr. Mitchell.
Mr. Hager?
You've some work for us, Colonel?
Professor Stryker just gave me these notes.
Rona?
Yes, Mr. Hager.
We will have this type for you right away, Colonel.
Thanks.
Hello, Colonel.
Hello, Rona. This is Mr. Mitchell, Steve Mitchell.
How do you do, Mr. Mitchell?
Miss Kendall.
These notes, Rona. As soon as you can, eh?
Of course, Mr. Hager. I get right at them.
Now, gentlemen, do sit down.
So we sit and we spend the next 10 minutes indulging in idle chatter. I keep my eyes on Rona all the time as she pecks away at the typewriter. Finally, she's finished. Ferguson and I walk over to her desk.
Oh, finished, Colonel. Here you are.
Thanks, Rona. Come on, Steve,
What is it?
Rona, how do you spell receiver?
Oh, please don't tell me I've done it again. I before E. Here, let me erase it and do it over. Here you are.
Thank you. Come on, Steve. Well?
Sure of one thing. No one in that office got close enough to Rona to get a look at those notes.
Well, I'd have been telling you.
Everything went just the way you said. When she left her desk to check the files, she locked up the notes. So far, I can't spot a thing, Hank.
Well, what now?
Follow the routine. You put those notes in your safe and wait. We go back to Ferguson's office and do just that. Wait. I've been with those notes from the time we picked them up until we put them into the safe, and I'm willing to bet no one's had the opportunity to copy them. 2 hours later, we're still sitting in Ferguson's office when the phone jangles.
Hello? Yeah.
What?
All right. Yes, thanks.
What's up, Ferguson?
The local law closed in on another courier 5 minutes ago, right after he left the bakery.
Huh?
And guess what they found on him, Steve?
Don't tell me.
Yeah. A copy of the phony set of notes we put through this afternoon.
Now back to Dangerous Assignment and Steve Mitchell.
It's impossible. Another batch of notes leaks out right under our nose. And we haven't got the slightest idea how they're doing it.
We know part of it, Hank. But only part of it.
We do?
Yeah. How the information got from the villa to the bakery in the village. That's why we're heading for the kitchen.
I don't understand, Steve.
Pretend we're just on an inspection tour, okay?
Yeah, but I still don't... And this, of course, is the kitchen, Steve.
Say, pretty well equipped.
Good afternoon, Colonel.
Carl, this is our cook, Steve. Carl, Mr. Mitchell.
A pleasure, sir.
According to the Colonel here, you're the one that's responsible for the slight bulge at his waistline, Carl.
Well, I try to keep everyone happy.
Yeah, quite a place you've got here.
Thank you. We have all the latest equipment, as you can see. An electric refrigerator, a modern stove...
And an old-fashioned egg-laying machine outside the window.
Yeah. As you see, we keep our poultry in pens outside, alive until the last possible moment to ensure freshness. Chickens, squab, even an occasional pheasant.
You know, Hank, with all this food inside, maybe I'd better stay over a day or two.
It will be a pleasure to serve you, Herr Mitchell.
Thanks, Carl.
Can we move on, Steve?
Yeah. See you later, Carl.
For dessert tonight, strudel.
kitchen?
No, outside the window.
Huh?
Didn't those pigeons impress you as being a little big for a squab?
Hey, you said you spotted a pigeon loaf behind the bakery in the village.
Right. Five will get you 10, these so-called squab or carrier pigeons.
Brother, when I said right under our noses, I wasn't kidding. So that's how they've been getting the information out of here, by carrier pigeon.
We still don't know who slipped the stuff to the cook, though. So let's leave him alone for the time being. Right now, I'd like to get into the police station in the village and talk to the man they just arrested. See what we can dig out of him.
Steve, his name's Kovac.
Sit down, Kovac.
And Steve, I've got a surprise for you. Here's what the police found on him.
Hey, this is microfilm.
Yeah.
Okay, Kovac, suppose you start supplying a few answers.
I've already told the police what little I know.
Let's have it.
I was paid to pick up the microfilm at the bakery and copy it in my own handwriting.
They arrested him before he had time.
Then what?
Then I was to destroy the microfilm and leave the handwritten copy where it would be picked up.
By whom?
I don't know.
We've got the place watched, Steve. We'll pick up anybody who shows up. But that still doesn't tell us what we want to know.
You're so right. Look, Kovac, how was this microfilm made? Who took the pictures?
I don't know.
Okay, Hank.
Come on, Kovac. Let's go.
Sergeant, take charge of the prisoner.
You know, Steve, I wouldn't be surprised if he's telling us the truth.
Chances are he's just a little link in the chain and doesn't know any more than he's told us.
Yeah.
You know, Hank, this is a clever outfit we're up against.
That's for sure.
Probably instructed their couriers to copy the notes into their own handwriting so we wouldn't know about the microfilm in case one of them was picked up.
It's a good thing we grabbed this one before he could do it.
So we know somebody at the villa is using a camera on the notes. But who? And how?
Two good questions. I wish I had the answers.
Well, let's go.
Back to the villa?
Yeah. And back to the beginning.
Covered every inch of the way from the lab up here to Hager's office.
Yeah. We traced every step of the route those notes follow, and we've got a big nothing.
Good evening, Colonel. Mr. Mitchell?
Hello there.
Working late, Rona?
Yes, just finishing some reports for Mr. Hager.
Mm.
I'll check out with the guard in just a moment.
Good. See you in the morning.
Good night.
Night. What's this about checking out with the guard?
Oh, all the employees do that each evening. See, as soon as the offices are vacated, he throws a master switch that activates all the electric eyes. We've got them in front of every safe and filing cabinet in the place.
Part of the fortifications, huh?
Yeah, a lot of good it's done us.
Tell me, Colonel, do you also have an electric eye in front of the refrigerator down in the kitchen?
No, that's wide open. Let's go raid it. Man, one thing I like is chicken. Well, what's the next move, Steve?
You sure our friend Carl the cook isn't around here anywhere?
Nah. According to the guard, Carl checked into the dormitory wing half an hour ago.
Okay. Hank, let me have that microfilm again.
Okay. Here you are. Here's a magnifying glass.
Thanks. You know, I think we'd better copy these in handwriting and put them where that courier was supposed to, so they'll get picked up.
Keep the game going, huh?
Yeah. We've got one thing in our favor. Apparently, they don't realize we know what's going on.
Right. First courier gave us the information that enabled us to pick up the second. That shows we were able to keep the first one's arrest hushed up.
And if we follow through for the second one, we may be able to keep them from knowing about him, too.
Mm.
Those phony notes Dr. Stryker gave us are probably close enough to the truth to keep him guessing.
Mm. Well, I'll make the arrest.
Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Whoa, take a look at this microphone.
Hmm? Well, what about it?
See anything unusual?
No.
That's the point.
What do you mean?
That microfilm is a photograph of the typewritten report, right?
Yeah.
Well, take another look. Remember that word Ronan misspelled?
Say, it's still misspelled in the microfilm. There's no erasure.
That means somehow the picture was taken before the correction was made.
But how could it have been? She just barely finished typing it. She went to the files, got the final reference, edited it to the notes, and gave it to me. I spotted the misspelled word, and she corrected it.
Hank, think you gave me the answer.
I did?
What's the first thing you did when we came into the kitchen here?
I opened the refrigerator and got some cold meat out.
Yeah. Do it again.
Open the refrigerator?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Ah, see the little light?
Yeah.
It goes on when you open the door, goes off when you close it, right?
Hey, wait a minute.
I think that's their gimmick, all right. Only in reverse. Hank goes to round up Rona, and I head for Hager's office. I switch on her desk lamp, take the key Hank gave me, and open the bottom drawer. I slide my hand in, feel around in the space between the drawers until I find what I'm looking for. A small camera.
Don't move, Mr. Mitchell.
What? Well, my friend, call the cook.
So, you found Rona's camera?
Yeah.
Too bad. This evening, when you and the coroner came into the office, she began to fear you suspected her. She did not have a chance to remove the camera before the guard made his rounds. So she sent me for it.
How'd you get past the guard?
I didn't. He heard me enter this wing and came to investigate. I was waiting for him in the shadows.
Pretty neat deal Rona was running. Every time she went to the files, she put the typewritten pages of the report in this drawer. When she closed the drawer, that triggered a small light in the camera inside. Afterwards, she'd give you the microfilm and you'd send it to the baker by carrier pigeon.
Such a pity you found it out all too late, Mitchell.
I wouldn't say too late, Carl. If you think you're going to get out of this villa...
That's exactly what I think. Because you are going to take me out.
Oh?
I'm certain they will let you through the gate. I will accompany you. And rest assured that if you such as raise an eyebrow, I will kill you. Shall we go?
He motioned me toward the door. Then I remember something Hank told me. It may work, if I can get close enough. I turn and start toward the door near the filing cabinet.
Where are you going?
I thought you wanted to go out the back door.
No. Come back.
I stop and turn. As I do, I move my hand toward the filing cabinet. My body screens it from Carl. A little farther, and then...
What's that?
Carl jumps a foot. Before he can draw a bead on me again, I'm on it. I hack my gun out of his hand, and it goes flying. But Carl gives me a blow with his knee that sends me crashing back into the wall. He jumps to the door, jerks it open, and runs out. I follow. At the corner of the hall, he runs right into Hank's arms.
Come to Papa. Just take it easy there, boy. Let's go.
Take it easy, Carl. You're not going anywhere for the moment. You all right, Steve?
Yeah. Did you get Rona?
Locked up tight. Sounds like you set off the alarm back in the office.
Yeah, the electric eye you told me about. It jarred Carl out of a good shot at me. Sort of disproves an old saying, doesn't it, Carl?
Saying?
Sure. The eye is quicker than the hand when it's electric.
Thank you.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell. This is a Grace Gibson radio production directed by Lawrence H. Cecil. Be with us again next week, same time, when Steve Mitchell will embark on another Dangerous Assignment.